We'll just try to mind the Lord. I've got some scriptures here tonight, and sort of like what Lee was reading there, it just seemed like the Lord was taking me everywhere this evening in the scriptures. And you get to wondering and worrying, you know, how's all this going to go together? And Lord, some of these things that you're showing me is kind of, I know what I am and I'm nothing, and I can't get into a whole lot of what you might call depth in myself a lot of times. And sometimes things is sort of, I don't never want them to sound complicated, and I don't never want them to be hard to understand for anybody else. But it takes the Spirit of God to do any of that. And that's what scares us to death so much, is we know we ain't able to do it. And we totally have to just put ourselves in His hands. And with His help tonight, maybe we'll bring out a little bit. And want to start reading over in Romans. Maybe there in the 10th chapter of Romans. And Lord, help us tonight to bring out some things tonight on righteousness. That's where my heart's been, is on righteousness. And thought on those things that just today, so many different ways seemed like we was going, trying to find where the Lord wanted me to go. Tommy, and when the Lord started opening up where He wanted us to go tonight, it just scared me to death, just to be honest with you. But we want to be able to make this as clear as possible through the Spirit. But we'll start reading in the 10th chapter. And it says, 10th chapter of the book of Romans. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let me just read on down. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And I'll stop, I believe, right there. Like I say, we've had righteousness on our heart. And this scripture is one that the Lord had brought to our heart. And I thought on that, what righteousness was. And if you look the definition of it up, it says, one who is holy in heart is one that's righteous. And observant of the divine commands in practice. And I thought about that, one that's holy in heart. And that's observes the divine commands in practice. And you think and go back in the Word of God, and I got to thinking where David had written over there in the Psalms 37 that he said that he had never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed a begging bread. And David had said he had been young and he was now old, and he had never seen those things. And I thought about in David's day what righteousness was to them in that day, and we understand if you go over it's in 1 Peter. Let me just find it, and I'll just read it. Go over in the book of 1 Peter. It's in the first chapter. Just bear with me tonight. Find my place. He says there in the first chapter of 1 Peter, and I'll just start right there about the 13th verse. He says, wherefore gird up thy loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And you think about that scripture right there, and I told you what the definition of righteousness was. It's to be holy in heart. To be pure in heart. And you think back in that, and David had said he'd never seen the righteous forsaken. And back in the Old Testament, under the law, men gained a pureness for just a season in the flesh. They were sacrifices that was brought out and given to atone for sin for just a season and just a time. And that was in man's flesh in that day. And in the way that he achieved that was by offering an animal or something to get the atonement for that sin. And yet, you inspire with me to pray tonight, just that the Lord would help us to get this out the way He showed it to us. But He says, to be thou holy, for I am holy. Then you can turn on over in the Word of God, and I'm doing a bunch of reading, and I'm going to, because that's the way the Lord's laid it on my heart. If you turn over to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and I want us to understand in the 10th chapter what we was reading, but turn on over to the 8th. Paul was writing to them, brethren, my heart's desire, in the 10th chapter, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And you understand, in that day, he was telling them he saw a zeal in their life. He said that his heart's desire for them was that they might be saved. But they had a zeal in their heart, and he said, but not according to knowledge. And he said they was going about to establish their own righteousness. And understand there, that word establish. I like to give you the definitions to make sure we got the full understanding of some of these. That word establish means to confirm something, to fulfill it, or to make good. So they was going about to confirm their own righteousness. That is not what we do. We can't. We can't confirm righteousness. We can't establish righteousness in our lives. And if we want to be in a position to where, like I say, that scripture there that in Psalms, where he said that they had never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed of begging bread. I don't want to be forsaken in the day when I stand in judgment. What does that mean? That means to be abandoned, to be left, and to stand alone. And there's coming a day in some people's lives when they're expecting God to stand with them, and he's going to forsake them in that day. But not by his own will, not by his own choice, because he's gave every man a way to righteousness. He created a way that man didn't have to go to hell. But we live in a generation, and we've got people today that are going about establishing their own righteousness. They're trying to confirm in their own lives that they're all right with God. That's what the Jewish people were doing. That's what the people here in this day were doing. And Paul was writing that his heart's desire for was that they might be saved. They had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. In their minds, the more they could do according to the law, the more that they could try to submit their flesh under the law, they was getting closer to God. And then the whole time they were getting further away. Trying to establish their own works, their own good things. I'm afraid today that there's a lot of people out there that's planning on going to heaven, Conley. And they've established their own righteousness. My heart's desire, and that's what we've taken on this season, my heart's desire is that they might be saved. I don't care how much of a zeal they've got to keep this old flesh walking right, to keep it talking right, to keep it looking right. There's some very self-righteous people in our lives today. There's nothing wrong with living right, but I'm going to tell you what, if you're the one doing the living, then there's something wrong with it. If there's not been something already established down on the inside that makes you want to walk right, and you're trying to walk in your own mind and your own will, that's not of God. Trying to establish things, their own righteousness.
Bear with me, please, tonight. Turn over an eighth chapter. He said there in the first verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That, listen here, listen why He had to come. Listen why Christ Jesus had to come and die. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But they that are in the flesh, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now any man have not the Spirit of God, of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's the only pure, holy thing that can be in our life. It's through Christ Jesus. It's not establishing our own righteousness. If we want to be saved, if we want to go to heaven, He said, with the heart man believeth unto Him. He preached on believing Sunday. Whosoever believeth. That is something that's established in your life that you took a hold of because somebody else proclaimed something to you. And you believed it. What did I just read to you over there? He said, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? Unless this gospel's ever been opened up to you, Mike. Unless you've ever seen the law, you didn't know there was sin there. How does it get revealed? Through the Spirit. Not through our old carnal mind, not through our old flesh. Make it ain't because you come to church. It ain't because you preach. It ain't because that you put your money in offering. It ain't because of all the works we do. There's a lot of people got righteousness established in their life. They've confirmed it to themselves. I've talked to them. I treat people right. I do people right. I ain't never done nobody wrong. God knows my heart. Over in the third chapter of the book of Romans, I know I'm going backwards here in this, but this is the way the Lord give it to us. He says in the third chapter of the book of Romans, He said, first verse, what advantage hath the Jew? They were speaking of, let me back up and read the last part of it. He says, for he is not a Jew which is the one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. I want us to understand that right there. It's not just because a man is a natural Jew. It's not because a man has had a fleshly circumcision. That's what Paul was writing to us there. Because he said, what advantage then hath the Jew? They've done everything they could to keep the law. They've done everything they could to follow the ordinances. God established His church through the Jewish nation. He established, that's the lineage that our Christ came out of. But He said He came to His own, and His own received Him not. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is their circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Just because they were a Jew, and what if they hadn't believed? What if they hadn't believed? He said, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in the sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness commend the right, if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No. In no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Understand what I just read to you. And what I'm getting ready to read. He's going through and he's asking questions that our natural mind would ask. Are they better than us? Have they done more to achieve a closeness with God because the Jewish nation is the lineage that He came out of? Or do they get a better privilege than you and I've got? No, sir, and no, ma'am. He said right there, he said that in no wise. Well, he asked, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Listen, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, that there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's describing the human race. That's describing the natural man that you are, the natural man that I am, the natural man that the Jewish nation is. There's none righteous, no, not one. And he goes through and he describes all of our unrighteousness. So how can we be accepted of God? How can we ever find favor in the eyes of God? He told us, I read it over in 1 Peter, be thou holy, for I am holy. God requires He said to present thy body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So how in this world could we ever be presented before God holy and acceptable? And he just described to you that there's none of us righteous, no, not one. But David said that he had never seen the righteous forsaken. So how are we going to stand before God one day and not be forsaken of God, as unrighteous as we are in our flesh? If we're going through this life establishing our own righteousness, we will not stand before God and be accepted. Listen on, please. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, what did Paul write to him over there in that 10th chapter? He says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." What did I just read there to you? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is not where I establish my righteousness. The law shows me that I'm a sinner and that I am unrighteous. The law is not there to give me something to boast in. The law is not there to give me something to glory in. The law is there to condemn this unrighteous sinner that stands before you. And they were using it in that day, and it's getting used today, to uplift the flesh of man, to say, "I'm better than you," to say, "I'm closer to God, I'm going to heaven, there's no way you can make it." The law is there to show me and you both that we're lost sinners on our way to hell in need of a Savior. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. There's not a difference between every one of us. We're all sinners. And you know what we've got to have established in our life? Not our own establishment of righteousness. But he said, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is what? By faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference." And I told you, for something to be believed in your life, it's had to be proclaimed unto you by another, and you've had to accept it as the truth in your life. How can you hear without a preacher? You can't. How can they preach except they be sent? They can't. How can they hear without a preaching of the gospel in the Spirit and in the truth? That's how the law is brought forth and manifested. It's through the preached word of God. That's what shows us we're a sinner. That's what shows us we're on our way to hell. Every man's ways is right in his own eyes. Julian, I can establish my own righteousness. I can have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge that comes only by the preached word and the law of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Listen. Whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Understand tonight, do you know what this is saying right here? Listen, I'm going to read it again because I want us to really get this tonight. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Freely, understand that. By His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent to be the propitiation. Do you know what propitiation is? I want you to understand what that is tonight. I always look that word up to make sure I explain it right. It says the atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage His wrath. In other words, that's going to make compensation and amends and to calm the wrath of God, to appease the wrath of God. That's what He was the atoning sacrifice. The only thing that would appease the wrath of God, He was our propitiation. We have no righteousness within ourselves. There's nothing righteous about us, none righteous, no, not one. And if the only thing God will accept is a holy, pure heart, a righteous heart, then how can you and I ever make it in without the blood of Jesus Christ? It's an impossibility. It'll never take place. I don't care how good they are, Tommy. I don't care how well they treat everybody, how good they are to their neighbor. If you can't say that you've ever been born again, you're lost and on your way to hell. I like in this, it said, to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. I preached on believing the other day. We've got to believe, Bobby Griffin, in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That's the only way through. Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Listen into this next verse. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness. Do you know what that word declare means? To make clear. To make clear. Do you understand there what it said? To declare His righteousness for the remission of sin. You know what remission means? Listen here. That means to pardon or forgive. If you want to be pardoned for your sins, for your unrighteousness, for your filthiness, then it's got to come through the declaration of the blood of Jesus Christ for you to ever receive a pardon in your life for sin and condemnation that we deserve. It's got to be made clear. It's got to be manifested in our life. We've got to somewhere. Oh, I hope this is getting through tonight. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. From the abundance of your heart your mouth will speak. You know what that is? That's a declaration. You know what your life you'll walk after you're saved is? It's a declaration. It's making clear whose you are and that you're a born-again child of God. I don't try to walk in the law because I'm trying to achieve righteousness. I walk in the law because of His righteousness. I try to live under the commandments of God because of His righteousness that's living within me. That's the only way we can present our bodies holy and acceptable unto God as a reasonable service. You know why it's such a reasonable service? Because you got one down on the inside that's doing all the work for you. That's establishing your righteousness. Do you realize how hard it would be, Julian Anders, to go through this life and try to achieve the law? Never do it. It was weak in that point through the flesh, because the flesh will never achieve perfection. I'm so thankful for the propitiation, for the one that had the blood that was pure enough to be the atonement for my sins. Christ was the only one if the world could ever get a hold. I could never achieve it. I could never go to heaven. I could never escape hell. I could never know what righteousness was except Him, except He left all of heaven and gave His life that I wouldn't have to go to hell. We can try to establish all we want to, our righteousness, and die lost to go to hell. But it's through His blood. It's through the acceptance of His righteousness. That means so much to me. I don't know what I am. I thought Lewis Wick on Mephibosheth. He's a cripple, son of Jonathan. David brought him in, slid him up under his table, and said, "You'll never go hungry again. You'll always eat at my table." Or how many times he looked down and said, "Boy, I never deserved this. I never deserved to sit at the king's table. Every day of my life, Matthew Pink, I look and I know I don't deserve this home. I don't deserve His righteousness, His purity, His perfection in my life. Not one thing have I ever done to merit it. But I read to you, freely, I was able to receive it. Didn't cost me a dime. Didn't cost me anything. I didn't have to do like in prophets of Baal. I didn't have to jump, stomp, sacrifice. I just had to believe and accept and confess. Hello.
Twenty-sixth verse. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? I like this part. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. You know what that means? To be shut out. There's no boasting. You hear a man boasting how good he is. You see a man boasting and telling just how much he's done for the Lord and how much he deserves this and how well this is. And I've served God and I deserve all this kind of junk. No, sir. Where's the boasting? Where's it at? It's excluded. It's shut out. There's no place in this I can say that I've done anything to deserve it. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude
that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law? Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. You don't establish your own righteousness through the law of God. You establish it through the law of faith, in believing in what Christ Jesus done for you on Calvary's cross. You want righteousness established in your life. You want it confirmed. And you're going to have to get on your knees and ask God to save you. And if that righteousness is not established, then you'll stand before Him unjustified. And there's no atonement ever been made for your sins that you accepted. And without that atonement, you go over and read in Egypt, if the blood wasn't applied to the door, death came. I hope we understand a little better tonight just how important the righteousness of God is. We're not righteous, none righteous, no, not one. But understand that David said he had never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed to begging bread. You go on over and read in that 37th chapter just a little bit, or in the beginning of it, in Psalms. And you know, a lot of times we get to thinking, well, this person here, look how they live, look how they do. It seems like they're prospering and they're going. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And I love these. I'm going to go ahead and go over and read them, the last two verses in this chapter. He says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength at the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust Him. I love that word shall. He shall deliver them. Why? 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 Because they trust Him. I've got no righteousness. I've got nothing worthy of salvation. But because I trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, I shall be delivered. Praise God! That gets me excited! I deserve hell, but I gain heaven through the blood and the righteousness of God. So many people want what they think they deserve. They think they deserve this, they deserve that. I deserved hell. But I got heaven because I trusted in Him. The propitiation, the atonement for my sins. Yeah, I liked crazy for Him. I'll shout His name from the rooftops. I'll proclaim Him wherever I go. He's still reading, church. I'm going back over to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I ain't ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. He'll save me just as quick as he will, the leader of the Jewish nation. He'll save me just as quick as he will anybody. There's no difference. Ain't that wonderful to have a God where there ain't no difference? The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We done read it, but we're all unrighteous. We're all worthy of hell. I ain't no better than you, heaven. I ain't no better than the drunk on the street. Hey, I ain't no better than that harlot, that prostitute. I ain't no better. Hey, I've just accepted the righteousness of God. He's the same Lord over all. They call upon him, and whosoever does shall be saved. Praise God. I get excited in that. Him that gets in at the 11th gets the same thing as him that come at the first. Ed Clark may only have a few hours, maybe a few days. He may have a few years left. A lot of people says, I don't believe in deathbed confessions. I'm going to tell you what. I've been wanting to wait until I got to that point. But praise God that He's still merciful unto a man that's on his deathbed. To all. You say, well, he didn't deserve it, preacher. Yes. Say, he's went through this life and he's not lived for God. He's not accepted him all these years. Hey, I'm thankful that the same God has saved him. He'll save you today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you think you can scratch anybody off of the whosoever list, you're wrong. You think you can scratch somebody off of that? You think you can block their name out? God help you. You might ought to get saved. I started seeing things a whole lot different. I got saved, Mike. And I've grown. As I've come along, there's a few things I started out believing God showed me I was a little wrong in. There's a lot of times in our own Christian lives we try to establish our own righteousness. We sure do. But I'm going to tell you something. As a child grows, it learns. And as a Christian grows, we learn. And our righteousness gets established through Him. And not through ourselves. It's got to be through the knowledge of the law being brought to you through the Spirit of God and the love of God. That's what the Lord gave me tonight. I pray it was clear.